Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is the D Word podcast, where we talk dementia. Glad you could join me here on the D Word podcast. Good to have your company once again on this edition. We're going to be talking about the power of music with my guest Michael Timmons from Playlist for Life. We're heading up towards National Playlist Day on the 20th of September. But before we get there, just give us a little bit of background about Playlist for Life and how you became involved.
Great. Yeah, I'm delighted to join you, Pete. Thank you so much for having me on. Playlist for Life has been going for just over 10 years, and it's all about music that's personally meaningful to people and how that can help those living with dementia. So the songs that give you that flashback feeling, that are connected to who you are, special moments in your life, the songs that make up the soundtrack to your life. There's over two decades of research that have shown that if you can identify those songs, if you're living with dementia or you're caring for someone with dementia, it can massively improve your well-being. It can improve connection, help you better manage day-to-day tasks. It can reduce some of the most distressing symptoms of dementia. And yeah, it's incredible. And that's what Playlist for Life is all about. And we're there to help people uncover their playlist, help them create it, and provide advice and guidance about when to use it and how to use it. And National Playlist Day, which is coming up shortly, is all about celebrating the power of music and making anyone that's not aware of it aware of it.
Certainly, we live in a society that in some way, when you've got a condition, it's go to the doctors, get a pill, and that will sort it out. I guess, it's difficult for people perhaps to realise that instead of getting a bill, you buy a Beatles record or an ABBA song. And actually, that can have a really positive benefit. And I guess, all that science that you've had done, University of Toronto, evaluations with the NHS, etc., is really important to get people away from that model where they think that, we just need to go to the doctor and take a pill.
Yeah, totally agree with that. It's taken music away from just something that's a nice thing to do, which it is. It's such a wonderful part of our life. But it's taken it away from that as rather than just being an add-on or a nice thing to do, it's something that can genuinely be used as a really powerful treatment, I suppose, if that's the right word, to help you manage symptoms of dementia and live a better life and continue to live a full life. And when we think about medication and treatments, there's lots of stuff in the news in recent months about this amazing developments and the science around treating dementia and the potential for treatments that can help. Which is really exciting, but it seems as if it's a long way off or at least a while off yet. Whereas music is something we can use now. And when you think about medication and all of the side effects that come with that, when you think about music, it's something that's so cost effective. It doesn't really cost much to do. And the side effects are non-existent, or I mean, there are side effects such as maybe been subject to some really bad singing, or in my case, if you're playing my playlist, been subjected to the painful sound of Bob Dylan's harmonica, screeching to others that might be in the room. So there's those kind of side effects, but in terms of using it, it's yeah, why wouldn't we use this? We know it works. There's 2 decades of research. We can all do this.
Yeah, I think, we maybe come on to your playlist a little bit later, but I guess also with the technology now, I'm of an age where if you wanted to do this and do your playlist, you'd be taping the top 40 off the radio and trying to join it all together. Whereas now technology makes this so available, and as you say, most of it is free.
Yeah, it's we're in an age where music is more accessible than it's ever been. There's so many different platforms to stream and listen to music and download music. And then there's all the ways that we've used in the past, cassette tapes and vinyl records and CDs. And at Playlist for Life, we don't direct people towards a specific mode of listening to music. While I might feel that some ways of listening to music is easier because maybe I've grown up with certain technology and I can access it and I have a subscription. For others, it's still using things like CDs and records, if that's the way that suits them best and it's easiest. But what we do is we provide lots of guides and resources to help people make a choice and figure out actually, is it worth me, learning how to use Spotify or Amazon Music or and getting a subscription? Or actually, can I just get my CDs out or my records and listen to my playlist like that? Or singing along and just singing songs. There's so many ways to access music. It will be interesting in the future, as people are becoming so familiar and with these subscription services and streaming services, where we've got playlists, lots of playlists for different occasions and moments and periods of the day. I just feel it's going to become even easier, and there'll become a point where hopefully everyone just is online and using these streaming services, which make it so easy. However, that being said, I do have a growing record collection at home as well. So it's, yeah, I do still like the physical aspect of music. So it's, I don't think that's going to die anytime soon.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If you'd like to be my guest on the podcast, then do drop an email to tdwradio@gmail.com. This week my guest is Michael Timmons from Playlist for Life. I think I've been coming up to Playlist. Before I, started talking to you, I thought, okay, let's start jotting mine down. And unfortunately, probably like yourself, being a great music lover, I've got a 25 tracks pretty easily in about 10 minutes. But I did find that strangely, I probably wasn't picking the tracks that I was thinking, oh, that's a marvelous bit of music, or that's a brilliant guitar solo. I started picking the tracks. So actually, that reminds me of this person, this time, and this place.
Yeah, and that's you've touched on 100% what Playlist for Life is all about. It's more than just the songs you enjoy and you like and your favorite songs. It goes beyond that. It's songs that remind you of special moments in your life, whether that's, a special holiday with the family, or if you're married, it could be the song that you walk down the aisle to, or your first dance, or it could be songs that you inherit from loved ones. So a lot of my own playlist is made up of songs I've inherited from, my parents, as well as other people in my life. So it's interesting. And, as I said, earlier when I referenced Bob Dylan, I'm a huge Bob Dylan fan. But when I think about the playlist of for my life, the soundtrack of my life, there might only be a few of his songs on there. I listen to his music all the time, but there's only a few songs that have really strong memories attached to them, that would probably make it onto my playlist. And similarly, there's songs by other artists which I maybe don't necessarily enjoy and wouldn't listen to, but they remind me of things. When I think of ABBA, who have so many fantastic songs, obviously, but I wouldn't normally have listened to them. But car journeys to Spain when I was younger, crammed in the back of a car with all of my family, and ABBA Gold was one of the only CDs or cassettes actually that they had, that was put in the car. So I've been subjected to that for 4 days straight, possibly a form of torture and for some people. But now when I hear some of those songs, it instantly takes me back to that memory, and it's a really nice feeling, just in the pit of my stomach, just been there with my brothers and sisters on the way to Spain.
Yeah, I think it's, that is so important. And looking at your website, one of the things I've seen is the real life stories, which I think are really effective. And one of the people on there, actually, Willie Gilder, we know here on the show. Willie's put a great quote up there, which basically says, "Thank you, John Paul, George, Ringo, and Mick and Keith, because you helped me get drawing back." And, that kind of sums up the whole ethos as well, really.
Exactly, yeah. That's such a fantastic example of someone who's used music to help manage their dementia. And for him, crucially, it was around drawing, and getting that ability to draw back. And we've seen so many examples of that, where people have created a playlist to help better engage with others in their life, to connect. People at later stages of dementia as well, who maybe have, lost the ability to communicate verbally with their loved ones, or engage with the world around them, using a playlist can help ground them to a sense of who they are, can help improve that connection. And we've seen people who maybe haven't spoken for sometimes. For some time, suddenly finding words again and being able to speak about music and the songs that matter to them and the memories. And for others, it can simply be, a smile appearing, just feeling more physically relaxed. So while we see the transformational effects of music for someone who maybe hasn't spoken, suddenly speaking, or someone regaining the ability to paint and draw, or someone who maybe struggles to just walk around their own house due to visual spatial challenges due to the dementia, suddenly being able to do that and manage that without losing balance, or being able to feel more relaxed and reducing that anxiety. Those huge transformational effects are powerful, but for others, it's just as transformational. If someone suddenly just feels more at ease in themselves, or suddenly can smile for a few moments, it's incredibly powerful.
Yeah, very much so. I guess one of the areas in terms of social care, I've been in a number of social care facilities where I feel music is used just to break the silence, basically. Someone will walk past in the corridor, or turn the radio on, and don't really think about what's playing or the effect. Now, I know you've looked into that in terms of Playlists for Life with your training for people in the social care sector.
That's right. Yeah, we've trained over 8,000 health and care professionals, and it's something we're trying to roll out even wider, is providing training to health and care settings on how to use music effectively and how to make sure that personal element is key. That's the crucial part of it. And we support all use of music, and there's so many great musical interventions out there, from choirs to music groups to singers coming into care settings, to group activities involving music, and all of that is fantastic. What we believe and what we do is try to take that to the next level and say, okay, well, how about personally meaningful music, and using that as part of a person's care and support. We've got a term for it called therapeutic scheduling, and it's thinking about the periods of the day that a person needs their playlist most. Is there particular times of the day that they find challenging or difficult to manage? And can the playlist be used as a way to help ease that pressure and make it more manageable? So yeah, it's moving away from things like, it's 2 p.m., so it's playlist time. It's thinking about when does that person need it the most. And for these other activities involving music that are great, we also support care homes and health centers to think about incorporating personalized music into that. So if if there is a singer coming in or there's a music activity, if you're creating playlists for people that you're caring for, share that with the singers or the music groups that are coming in and incorporate that into it. And it's that personal element that just takes it to the next level. We often say, if there's a choir or a singing group that make an impact on a person's life, if you need your playlist at 3 in the morning, you can't pull a choir out of the cupboard, but you can press play on an MP3 player or an Alexa player or whatever you use to listen to music.
One of the other things that interests me is that we tend to put certain generations with certain musical styles. Now, when we talk about the memory bump that people talk about, that the music you hear between the ages of 10 and 30 have a really profound influence on you. If we actually look at that now with, 80-year-olds, for example, someone 80 born in 1944, well, actually, their memory bump will take them through rock and roll, the Beatles, through to psychedelic rock, and the early stages of glam rock in the 1970s. And yet, when I was working for a major national charity, they gave me a CD full of war songs from the First World War. And we seem to have this feeling that, 80-year-olds are all going to listen to this, whereas, a lot of them will want to hear the Who and Pink Floyd.
That's such a great example, and it's something we still see. And it's interesting how it hasn't shifted. You're totally right. It's in the past 20, 30 years, it feels as if we're still people are still thinking that's the music to play. The example we often give is Vera Lynn, who is a song that's really powerful for people. But yeah, we're kind of moving beyond that now. As you say, it's the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and even 90s for people. And it's trying to get people thinking about that. And that's part of our training, is around that memory bump and thinking about the songs that, yeah, as you say, between the ages of 10 and 30, when you're gone through intense experiences in your 20s, falling in and out of love and all sorts of things. It's that music that connects. And then the inherited songs. So thinking about those songs, the songs you inherit from parents and children and loved ones. And then the other aspect of it is what we call kind of identity tracks or heritage tunes. So where did you grow up? Are you from a particular culture or background or religion or identity group or interests? You know, it's those kind of songs as well to think about. So it's beyond just the time period songs and thinking about it more. Yeah, the person as a whole, which is really interesting. But yeah, with Oasis reforming in the past few weeks as well, we shared our kind of Britpop playlist, and yeah, people are engaging in that as well. So it's trying to think more modern about it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's trying to, it's think across the ranges, isn't it, all the way. I look at my iTunes library. I've got stuff from now. I've got stuff going back to the 1930s. So that's nearly 100 years worth of music, I suppose.
Yeah.
It's really identifying the fact that people can identify with every step along the way there. They're not just in one particular era. I mean, one of the other interesting things, looking through, I've seen you. If anybody wants, by the way, the plan of how to do it, then it's perfectly explained on your website, and I've gone through it. And one of the interesting areas was safety. And I looked at that and I thought, oh, I wonder what that's all about. And then suddenly I realized that there could be, as it says, on your guidance, red flag songs, songs that may create a reaction that really you don't want.
Yeah, that's an interesting area that is important for people to be aware of, because music is so emotional. It's so connected to our emotions. And sometimes you might hear a song on the radio or in passing, and suddenly, it can make you feel emotional or, bring tears. And it's trying to identify why that song is having that reaction. It could be emotions to do with a person that's maybe no longer with us. So, as I referenced earlier, Bob Dylan's a big part of my life because I inherited it from my own father who's no longer with us. And sometimes I hear some songs and it can make me emotional, but it's emotions that I would like to keep. And because it's nice feeling and it's reminiscing in that way. So I wouldn't necessarily want that removed from my playlist. But for others, it can be unwanted emotions and things that upset them and cause distress due to maybe unwanted memories or difficult periods in their life. And it's trying to identify the difference there. Is it, upsetting and causing distress? And if so, is being aware of that and maybe not using that song or not playing that song, taking it off the playlist. And trying to figure out why that is happening. So yeah, it's being aware of that there might be songs that trigger unwanted memories and unwanted emotions.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
My guest on the podcast on this edition is Michael Timmons, Executive Director of Playlist for Life. One of the other safety factors was playing music at the right volume, but I'm sure a lot of rock musicians of the 60s and 70s would like to have gone back and done. I know Pete Townshend and The Who is, profoundly deaf, and I'm sure a lot of other people are. So there is something in that as well. Yes, we like to blast it out, but got to be aware of, the other health effects that you can create there.
Yeah, exactly. It's just being conscious of what's comfortable for each person. We used to recommend using headphones exclusively in the early days of playlist. But as we've kind of learned from people we support, we say use a range of options. So some people might not like headphones, so using a speaker or other options of listening to music. But an interesting thing to share is one of the reasons we recommended headphones was due to the way it can isolate other sound and other background noise. And as long as you've got the levels at a safe level for the person, because some people living with dementia, they feel it can interfere with distinguishing between different sounds and identifying a single sound. If you can put headphones on someone and play a song from their playlist, it could be the first time in a long time that they've been able to focus on one single sound. And if that single sound is a song that's really important to them, it can, can have a really profound effect.
Yeah, and I guess technology helps again with noise cancelling headphones and all that kind of stuff. And again, the other interesting one is obviously it's Playlists for Life, but also the importance of silence.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's that it's finding the moments, to reflect.
Yeah, as you say, I think the whole thing's a balancing act, and I think in the 25 minutes we've been talking or whatever, I hope people realise that when you say a playlist, because to some people it always just lists the songs, but you're demonstrating here there's a whole science behind the this whole thing.
That's the amazing thing is when we spoke about earlier, it'd been more than just a nice thing to do and a nice activity. It's actually backed by well over 2 decades of scientific research that shows the impact, and that's why it's so powerful to roll out across health and care settings, because it's not just a nice activity, it's actually backed by research. And music is so special, and it's how it interacts with the brain. I think that's where the real science is. It's like a firework display going off in the brain, a firework display of neurons and neural connections been made. It just lights up the brain as soon as you hear a piece of music that's familiar to you. And that's why we see that powerful impact for people living with dementia that may have part of the brain damaged, or signals can't reach because of the way music is written on the brain. It can find all sorts of pathways and alternative routes, I suppose, to reach parts of the brain that are maybe damaged. And that's why we sometimes see those transformational effects I spoke about earlier. Someone who maybe can't speak in a conversation, but after listening to music, can suddenly find the words again. It's really special.
So we've got National Playlist Day coming up, 20th of September. Tell us a little bit about that, how people can get involved.
Yes, the National Playlist Day is now into its 3rd year. We established it 3 years ago as a way to celebrate the power of playlists and use it as an excuse to shout about it and get everyone involved, to tell people who don't know about this, the power of music, and also to encourage everyone to make a playlist and think about it. And moving into the 3rd year, we're really focusing in on the soundtrack of your life and starting to uncover the soundtrack of your life. What songs mark important moments in your life? And we're trying to reach beyond just people who are maybe already invested in this world and already are on board. We want everyone to think about this, and particularly younger people as well, to think about this so that it just becomes part of, the psyche. It's just standard. It's okay, music helps dementia, creating a playlist can help. Because if you create a playlist today and think about the soundtrack of your life, it's such a nice thing to do, whether you're living with dementia or you're not. So it's nice and it's enjoyable and it can help you connect with your loved ones, but it can be a potential lifeline for the future. So that's what National Playlist Day is all about, and how to get involved. The best way to get involved is create your playlist and talk about it with others. But if you're an organization, you can share stuff on social media. We'll have lots of graphics and designs and resources that you can share. And really excitingly is we have a kind of landing page which we'll share details with details of, and this will have a playlist maker on the website which can help you get started to create your playlist if you're really stuck. So it's a nice tool to use that you put in some information, answer a few questions, and it helps generate a playlist.
Well, we'll be fully behind it, and I'll keep going with my one. Although it's the ever expanding playlist, but I think I might have to edit it down a little bit. Like I said earlier in the conversation, it's been a really interesting exercise just to do that, and it does bring back a lot of memories and things. And as you say, it's not always those songs that you think. I can have two playlists if I have the wonderful music playlist, but the playlist for life, as we've been discussing, is something just a little bit different, and I think a lot more personal. And hopefully we can keep in touch, get you back on the show in the fullness of time to talk about more music. That'd be great.
Yeah, that would be brilliant. Yeah, absolutely. Love to do that.
Thanks to Michael. Always a pleasure to talk music here on the podcast. If you want to find out more, then head over to www.playlistforlife.org.uk. Plenty of details about the charity, and if you want to make your own playlist for life, then you can start there. Well, that's all we have time for on this edition. Thanks for your company. Hope you've enjoyed it, and you'll join me again soon for some more dementia talk here on the D Word podcast.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.